Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Focus Technologies Focus On podcast series. I'm Larry Vino, the CTO here at Focus, and the Red Sox stink. The season's officially over, and it's on to next year. Pats are 0-2. Hopefully they don't stink. They've at least looked better offensive-wise last year, but it's a little tough right now for us Boston sports fans, what we refer to as Title Town. I'm back with my compadre, the man, the myth, the legend, Rags. Rags, thanks for joining me once again.
Glad to be here, Hilby.
We talked last time about backup. We talked about, you know, kind of the foundational constraints, how that's changing a little bit, cybersecurity putting a little more pressure, right? And in general, we talked about, like, best practice of data protection, right? Making sure you understand what you're doing, making sure that you understand how you're protecting things. It is not a one-size-fits-all. Hybrid cloud has really changed these environments because all the data is not in the same place anymore. It's spread out. Users aren't sitting in the office anymore. They're all spread out, yep. Right? So that's put a lot of changes and a lot of pressure into the backup space. The cyber attacks continue, right? So yes. Protection of those backups is critically important, which we're going to talk a lot about today. And so we're going to focus today on one of our business partners, and that's Dell Solutions, Dell Technologies. And we're going to talk about one of their latest offerings, which we actually like a lot. We're big fans of the Dell Apex Backup Service. So, Rack, really high level, talk a little bit about, you know, Dell Apex. Like, what are some of the, you know, key features that Apex brings to the table?
Yep, absolutely. Again, my favorite one is the 100% SaaS, right? Because every other product or every other application that we see these days is already on the SaaS.
Absolutely.
So this product, the backup, is already on the SaaS. It's a SaaS platform. It's easy to deploy. It literally takes a few minutes to deploy. There is no hardware requirement at all. And it's a consistent experience. When I say consistent experience, if a customer has multiple geographical locations, they get that consistent experience across the board from whichever geographical location that they log in.
That's huge.
Yeah, so that's very, very huge for any kind of an administrator, wherever they are logging in from.
Yeah. How many times have we seen companies with lots of sites, right, or they make acquisitions over time, and they end up managing multiple backup products, and each one has to be connected into separately and reported against separately? It's a nightmare.
Yep. And the biggest portion of this is the cloud native, right? When I say cloud native, what that means is, you know, you take the backup into the cloud, and then how can you restore it? Can you restore it back to the on-premises? Or if you have let's say you have an AWS or GCP or Azure, you can restore it on your tenant. You don't have to come down to the on-premises.
Sure.
So that's huge as well.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, you know, we emphasize a lot on the security side of the house, some of the compliances. So we'll talk more about the compliances as we progress here.
Definitely. Well. And that's driving a lot of these conversations, right, with this whole security environment the way it is.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about traditional backup, right? The last segment, we talked about those cylinders of excellence. We talked about installing the backup stuff and managing your backup solution on-premise, right? Talk a little bit about some of the challenges that brings to customers nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have gone through this many, many years, right? You know, managing the infrastructure has become an overhead these days, especially after the COVID. Things have changed a lot, and many of the applications have transformed into the SaaS world. So that has changed a lot. So managing the infrastructure, again, what COVID did was the process to order and the lengthier time for us to procure the hardware, right? So that's one reason, you know, people said, hey, why do I have to wait for this? Good example is the email exchange. So many customers moved away from the exchange into the Office 365 world.
100%.
So the same way, the same concept on the backup world as well. Why do I need to invest on the hardware? I can go directly into the SaaS world, and it is easy one. It's not only for your backup. It can also protect my O365. It can also protect all my SaaS workload that is up there. Salesforce as an example, we can absolutely protect using the Dell EMC Apex solution.
No doubt.
Yeah, and then there is no worrying about, you know, overly provisioning anything. There's no complexity that's involved. It's easy, and you can do some kind of a capacity planning. Let's say if somebody comes and asks, hey, I'm consuming X amount of capacity, and what am I going to consume in next 3 to 5 years?
Right.
The tool is built in such a way that, you know, you can do capacity planning, at least do the guesstimate and do the estimate, saying that, you know, this is what we are going to grow year over year, and give kind of a projection for the planning and for the financial side.
Sure. As well. And like you said, that provisioning over or under provisioning conversation, it crosses over other areas outside of just backup, but it has been a thorn in the side of backup, right? Because you know, you have to, as the backup administrator, right, you have to essentially predict what the backup growth is, right?
Exactly.
And that's impossible because application people don't often share what the development priorities are. You don't know from quarter to quarter what, you know, customer data might look like, right? And so how do we solve for that? We overbuy. Yeah. Right.
Yep. And then sometimes, you know, an acquisition, right? If a company does an acquisition, you never know. The backup might completely get doubled.
Mm-hmm.
From X amount, it might be Y. So you never know what an acquisition could bring.
100%.
So
that's definitely a big one, right? And that's the same one with cloud in general. It's one of the big benefits of cloud is, you know, you still have to forecast, right? Mm-hmm. Because bigger equals more expensive, right? So you have to understand how much capacity, performance, how much space for backups and all that stuff. But if you don't get it right, it's not like the business stops. It's not like you can no longer back up data. And now you're missing, if you have SLAs and contracts, for example, or just covenants to the business, right? You're not missing those things because, you know, the cloud has, quote, infinite space.
Exactly. Again, it's all in the cloud, right? Again, that's where we go back to the conversation of, you know, we not waiting for the hardware to come in, right? Once you're on the cloud, it's credits. As long as you have the credits, or if you want to purchase more credits, it's a click of a button. Everything is readily available. Like you said, there's unlimited on the cloud.
No doubt. So, and then this is one of my favorites, right? Especially nowadays. It's less applicable to backup, but it's still applicable to backup, right? We think about vulnerabilities. There's a security impact, right?
Yep.
Like, I like to joke that there are two things in IT that we stink at, right? One is documentation.
Yes.
Right. IT guys aren't great at documentation, right? We typically like to dive right in, fix things, deploy things, right? And then we're always worrying later about, all right, how do I go back and document this config and all this fun stuff, right? So we're not good at that in this industry.
Yeah.
And the other thing we're not good at is patching.
Yes.
Like, we run into environments all the time that are woefully behind on patching, that have vulnerabilities, critical vulnerabilities that have been sitting out there for years, not months, not days, not weeks, years they've been sitting out there.
Yep.
So this eliminates that too, because you don't have to administer this application anymore. The application, because it's SaaS, right?
Yep.
The vendor, Dell in this case, takes care of that. They own the patching. They own the security stuff. And they do it without you incurring downtime.
Exactly. Exactly. And how many times have we had a discussion about, you know, Microsoft space, right? Like 2008 servers, 2012 servers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that prevents all of this. We don't have to wait for any kind of a patching because it's a SaaS-based, you know, Dell EMC would do it. They'll just let us know that, hey, there is a downtime window. Again, it's not a downtime. It's just letting you guys know that there is an upgrade or there's a patch that's happening for the SaaS platform. So, so that's huge. And finally, is the physical outage, right?
Mm.
That we come across. We spoke about it a few minutes ago. The natural disaster, any kind of a disaster, right? So we don't have to really plan out for any kind of a physical outages at all because it's already a SaaS platform.
100%. Now, the other thing that I really like about the Apex Backup Service, and I was actually talking to a prospect yesterday, and they said that they're currently running Google Workspaces, right? So they're a Gmail customer, you know, they're using Google Drive and all that stuff. And they are looking to move to M365, but that has yet to be approved. They've yet to allocate budget, but they need a better backup solution. And so one of the things that I like about the Apex Backup Service is it has a big catalog of supported applications, including both Google Workspaces and M365.
Exactly. And again, people are under misconception, right? Once it's in the O365, people think that, you know, they can back up forever. No, it's not. That's not true.
Right.
The Microsoft will save your data or protect your data for 29 days. Beyond 29 days, if the legal says, hey, I need somebody's mailbox, I need somebody's Teams chat or OneDrive data, all those needs to be protected. So it's not. Beyond 29 days, you got to look at for a software that is SaaS grown, that, you know, you could protect it from a day one and you can save it forever.
And back to our 20 questions joke from the last call, right?
Yeah.
you know, we ask a lot of questions for this reason. Like, yes, we want to understand what your requirements are, because, you know, if your data protection policy says that, you know, you have to keep backups around for, you know, 90 days, 6 months, 12 months, whatever, you know, God forbid legal hold, right? Yeah. The dreaded legal hold. God forbid that comes into the term, right? Then the built-in M365 protections are just not going to cut it.
Exactly. And when we are scoping this, right, again, going back to the 20 questions, one question that we always ask the customer is, what's your internet speed, right? Because we do not need like a direct connect going into the AWS or Express Route going into the Azure space. Mm-hmm. All we ask is, what's your internet speed? Because that's all we need. Because what happens is, when we take a backup, you know, it's a source-based deduplication.
Yep.
So there's huge efficiency when that happens, right? So, and there are no egress charges when we are trying to restore
That's huge.
Yeah. Absolutely no egress charges. So when you are on the public cloud, that's a whole different story.
No doubt.
Yeah. So I tell this and show a demo on this all the time to show the customer, hey, this is how quickly this is backed up. Again, going back to the internet speed, it all depends on how quickly you can back up and how quickly you can restore without an egress charge.
Sure. The infamous egress charges, that's one of the we call it the fine print, right?
Exactly.
When you go to Azure or AWS's website and you look at the, you know, published cost of running things, right? And you go, oh, this is going to be cheap. No big deal, right?
Yep.
And then you get the actual bill and you're like, what? Like, why is this like exponentially higher than what the website said? Well, it's right. Egress charges and some other things,
mm-hmm.
which again, back to why, to your point, well, we play 20 questions. We want to know, like, we want to know what your environment looks like so we can give you real pricing, right? Let you understand, like, the cloud offers tremendous benefits, right?
Yep.
You know, the ability to deploy, you know, across regions, across the world, right? Rapidly, sure. Right? Stand things up, like infinite, like scaling, like we talked about, right? Scale up, scale down, like all that beautiful stuff tied with the billing that matches it, right? That's all great. But there are circumstances and use cases where, you know, the economics say otherwise. They say you shouldn't run this in the public cloud. You should run it either in your own data center if you have one still, right? And there's lifespan in the infrastructure in that data center. And by that, I don't also just mean the compute and the storage. I mean, like, the power and cooling and all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
Or in a colo somewhere, right? That may be more cost effective. But again, if you don't know the data, if you don't understand your environment and what the requirements are, it's tough to make that that determination.
Absolutely.
So talk about what we can protect, some of the key areas that the Dell Apex Backup Service will allow us to go after.
Yep. So our favorite one, right? Because we have been so used to the hypervisors from such a long time. The VMware, any VMware workload or any hypervisor workload, when it's a hypervisor, it includes the VMware, it includes the Hyper-Vs, and it includes the Nutanix Acropolis as well. So it can protect the whole virtualization stack from end to end. And on top of that, my favorite one, specifically, happy news for the database administrator or for the applications. So you can do a application level backup.
That's huge.
Yeah, that means you don't have to backup the whole VM.
Right.
You can backup just the database, and then it's an app level backup. And if an application owner comes and says, "Hey, I just want to restore this single database. I don't want to restore the whole database. Just give me this small database," we can absolutely restore or backup just a single database and restore a single database as well.
To all our brothers and sisters that are DBAs, we got you. We know that you have special requirements for your backups. We know that normal backups won't work for you. But to Rags' point, we have some nice integration with tools like Armin to get you what you want, but to also help your company and your backup administrators get what they need as well.
Exactly. So, yeah. Talking about Armin, so it can cover Oracle, it can cover SQL, it can do SAP as well. So those are some of the databases, you know, it can back up and restore. So moving on to the next one is the file systems, right, which is huge. You know, many customers have different kinds of file system, whether it's a Windows-based or a Linux-based, and we can do any kind of granular restore as well. So it can cover a lot of the file system level backup and the restore as well.
Definitely. And that goes the same for NAS devices too, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. So regardless of where that data is sitting, we can protect it.
And then one thing that, you know, we always say is when it comes to the NAS or the file system, we don't have to save it on a tier one backup layer, right?
Right.
You can push it onto the Glacier. So that's what we call it as a long-term retention.
Yep.
So you want to save those data, unaccessed data, for about 3 months on a tier one storage. And then you want to push it to the cold storage. After 3 months, we can absolutely write a policy saying that, hey, push this data from a tier one storage to a tier two or a tier three to a glacier. So that can easily happen on a click of a button with one single policy.
Nice. And we talked about how, you know, it has such wide breadth of support for different things, right? In the SaaS space,
yep.
I mentioned earlier, M365, we gotcha, right? Google Workspace, we gotcha. Salesforce, we gotcha, right? All supported with this application. Talk a little bit about the centralized monitoring and management side. Like, I know we talked earlier about the pain behind managing multiple sites, and you said the centralized pane of glass is a big push. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yep, absolutely, right. So again, when it comes to the deployment and the monitoring, right, it's very, very key, because the deployment is a single, it's all you need is a couple of proxy servers. Once you have the proxy servers, you can be up and running in less than 2 hours, the whole backup environment. And then from there on, it comes about, you know, how quickly can we configure it? Super, super easy. And then from there on, it's all about, you know, creating the policies and monitoring it and giving access to the right people, right? So this can get integrated into your AD, which is very, very simple. And having the right people having the right access, right? So it's very, very important, because we have come across saying that, hey, a SQL administrator, an Oracle administrator needs access to the backup system. I always debate and say, no, why do they need access? If they need help, we can absolutely provide them access to their backup points, but not to the whole system.
Sure.
So that's where we can go granular when it comes to giving access to the right people in the system. And then the consistent reporting, right? That's huge.
Absolutely.
So it can send a reporting just to the IT administrator or to the C levels. So depending on, you can tailor your reporting as you need. And then finally, there is a federated search as well. If somebody wants to go look for a data for a legal hold, if it's a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old, they can absolutely, that's called e-discovery. Mm-hmm. So they can do the quick discovery on the data as well.
That's great. I can remember a few years ago that, you know, customers were buying and we were selling reporting solutions just for backup, because most backup applications had really subpar reporting capabilities. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, you had different backup applications spread out across different sites. And so you would buy tools to basically bring that all together. Yep. Now that's just table stakes, right? That's included in the product, and you get that all from a centralized
repository. Exactly. Yeah, and then we were talking about the capacity planning as well, right? Yep. So that's something that, you know, you can project it for next 12 to 36 months and saying that, hey, this is what we would need in terms of, you know, if you have purchases just for 12 months, you need to plan it for next 24 months. You can project it and you can do the capacity planning through the tool. It's not at extra cost. It's all included as part of the tool.
Beautiful. So let's talk a little bit about security, right?
Huge.
One of my favorite things to talk about. We've done a number of podcasts on it already. Let's talk about, you know, because I think this is one area that the Dell Apex Backup Service really shines is in the security space.
Yep. So some of the architecture, these are all pre-canned architectures, right? It's all built into it, like, you know, FIPS, NIST, SOC, you know, 1, 2, and 3. All these are pre-built into the system. Again, we at Focus Technology are SOC 2 certified as well, so we know the pain. We know
part of a very, very small group of MSPs. 10%, I believe, in the country are SOC 2 certified, and we're in that very elite category. Thanks for mentioning that, Rex.
Yeah. So that's huge, right? I mean, that's where we say, you know, talking about the security posture, that could be out of our 20 questions, that could be our second or third question, per se. So we ask a lot of questions, specifically when it comes to the healthcare industry. So we want to be cognizant about, are they HIPAA compliant? So we take care of all those, if the FIPS 140-2. So we make sure that, you know, all the compliance that's required for an organization is covered from a day one.
Yeah, when you rip through a couple of those, right? The FIPS, the SOC, right? ITAR being another big one, right?
Yep.
When customers ask us, well, how secure is it? And we rattle off those certs, it's like, okay, you know, enough said, right? It's like a drop the microphone kind of moment for a piece of software when you have those high level certifications. That essentially means you can run it anywhere, right? Top secret environments, right? To, you know, run of the mill commercial accounts, right? This product is secure enough to work anywhere.
Exactly. And the last piece that I want to add there is the immutable, right? The immutable is so key because, you know, because we talk about ransomware every day, every minute. So the immutable backup is so key. And who has access to that immutable data, right? It's only a few key people have access to it. So we take a lot of those things into consideration when we are scoping it out.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that, right? Since you brought that up, talk about the cyber portion of this, right? Some of the features that incorporate that you don't traditionally see in a backup application. Normally, you have to go buy something else to augment, right? Yep. Talk about how a lot of that stuff is built into the solution.
Yep. So what Dell EMC calls it as is a cyber protection, right? By default, it's all encrypted data. It's all air gapped. It's a zero trust architecture. These are all pre-built. But again, if you want extra layer to the cyber protection, there are two more layers to it, right? There is a core and then there is advanced as well. What that does is the ransomware protection, right? So which is very, very key. That's an extra license that you need to add to your cyber protection. And then there is advanced where you can do the ransomware protection as well as the recovery. Instead of you paying for the ransom, you can absolutely do through the immutable backup that you have stored in a safe location.
Yeah, and so let's put that into practical use, right? You know, I'm an organization. I am not running Dell Apex backup service. I'm running something else. I get popped, right? Bring in an IR firm, right? Tools get installed, start running forensics, trying to figure out what's going on, right? Company is shut down. People aren't working, right? IT wants to get things back online, right? They want to restore, right? Well, you can't restore, right? Do you know when this thing happened?
Yep. Like
when it got onto the environment? No, right? Do you know what a good backup looks like?
Exactly.
And no.
The last thing that we want to do is, you know, restore the backup. That's already popped.
Exactly so. Right. Yep. And we've seen customers do that. Like we've been called in and customers are like, I got popped. We went to backup. We did a restore.
Yep.
And within minutes of doing the restore, we get popped again. It's like, well, yeah, you restored the bad stuff, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, now let's fast forward. And now that same company has Dell Apex backup service, right?
Yep.
And they have the core and advanced packages you just talked about, right?
Exactly.
One, those things are being scanned, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for bad stuff. And two, they have gold copies, known good versions, right? You can restore back. So that whole, how do I get back online quicker, right? You're empowering your IT folks to get you back online quicker. You still have to run forensics. You still have to collect your logs, right? You still have to figure out, you know, what really happened and how big is this thing. Mm-hmm. But once you get past that, right, your ability to restore is dramatically quicker with a solution like Apex Backup Service.
Yep, and then we add an extra layer to this, right, as a business continuity, right? With the Dell EMC Apex Backup Solution, you can integrate the backup solution into your AWS tenant. If you have an ongoing VPC on the AWS side of the house, you can integrate the Apex Backup Solution to the AWS side of the house and say, hey, this is going to be my DR. This is my production data that's getting backed up to the SaaS solution, which is already on AWS. But if you want to take a copy and restore it on your AWS native tenant, absolutely, you can do that. It's a click of a button. You just have to give your credentials for the AWS tenant, and there we go. So that's huge. Yeah, that's super huge, especially for a larger clients where they want to test it out like once a quarter or once in 6 months.
Yep.
Go through the drill. Just test it out to see everything works as expected, not from the IT perspective, from the application perspective, right?
Yeah, because we've seen instances where, you know, the IR has occurred, they've run the tooling, right? We know where the breach happened, we know how far the breach is spread, and like, okay, so we know that these systems have to be explored further, but other stuff is okay.
Yep.
So we can you know, get things back online, or we can start to do some restores in some cases, right?
Yep.
What are you restoring to?
Right.
If all your other gear is still kind of part of an active investigation, you know, that's not really a good place to restore to.
Exactly.
So you could, we've done this, right? We can stand up private cloud instances for people and move stuff over.
Yep.
But now we're to your point, we're figuring out as we go. Like there was no plan, right? if you start with, you know, our cyber plan says in the event of bad things happening, once we validate that, you know, these things are good, we will restore them immediately into our AWS portal. And that process is documented. It's essentially already, you know, set up. It's, you know, it's the easy button, right?
Exactly.
Click the easy button and your environment's back up and running in AWS.
Yep. And that's, you know, that's how we started the conversation, right? That's the planning and the architecture.
Absolutely.
So, like I said, you know, it's measured thrice and cut once. So we do a good job on planning and making sure that, you know, it's backed up and restored at the right place.
100%. Talk a little bit about pricing, because this is priced a little bit differently, right? It's very cost effective. The end price is very affordable. We see customers that look at us like, you must have made a mistake in the quoting. We're like, no, we didn't. But there are still some questions around, you know, the way that they do the licensing. Talk a little bit about that.
Yep, absolutely. So going back to the kind of workloads that, you know, we can back up here, right? I mean, we spoke about the hybrid workloads. We spoke about all the endpoints that we can do and the SaaS applications, right? The O365, it's a Salesforce, and we can do all of this. But going to the licensing, there are multiple tiers into it. There's tier one through tier four, right? So it's anywhere between 50 users to 500. They categorize it as tier one, and 500 to 5,000 is tier two, and 5,000 to 20,000 is tier three, and anywhere above 20,000 plus is like a tier four. So that's for your SaaS application and for any endpoints, right? But that's a little different when it comes to the hybrid workloads, which is for your hypervisors. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the same tier one, two, and three, but the number changes when it comes to the hybrid workloads. But again, all of this can be done in a subscription model, right? In terms of terms, it can be done for 1 year, 3 years, and for 5 years. So that's key. I heard a couple of weeks ago saying that, you know, if you want to do it on a monthly basis, right, you can absolutely do it even on a monthly basis as well. That's an option as well.
Excellent. You know, the last thing I want to touch on before we wrap is, you know, when you think about the architecture, and again, you go back to, you know, focus playing 20 questions, right? We want to know RPOs, RTOs, and all that stuff. This is a SaaS backup solution, right? It is a cloud backup, so you can, you know, everything you can back up to the cloud. But that doesn't mean that you can't have local copies as well. Talk a little bit about, you know, the cloud cache and what that brings to the table.
Exactly. So that goes back to our favorite of RPO and RTO, right? Yep. So how quickly can you restore, right? So if an application or if a business is asking for, hey, I need this restore to be done in next 5 seconds, that's where we bring in the cloud cache into picture, right? You can have a local on-premises appliance installed before it goes to the cloud so that you can have a local copy on that appliance and then push it to the cloud. And then click of a button, your restore is ready to go in fraction of a second. So that's huge. Again, goes back to the 20 questions. So we take a lot of emphasis on architecting and making sure you have the right solution that you need to meet your business requirement.
Absolutely. So we know we asked 20 questions. We apologize in advance, but we do it out of love because we know that when we know what you really need, we can actually provide the right solutions that are going to make you happy, right? I learned a long time ago in my career that projects fail for one of three reasons, right? They overrun budget.
Yep.
They take longer than anticipated, right? Or they don't meet the functional requirements of the business, sure, right? And our game of 20 questions is so we can make sure we meet the functional requirements of the business. So when that application goes live, everyone's getting out of what they want to get out of it.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm going to call that a wrap. Rags, thanks for coming. And we will see you on the next Focus in Focus podcast. Thank you very much.